I want us to just look at what the Lord said on three subjects: marriage, divorce, and remarriage. First of all, think with me about what the Lord said regarding marriage. The question that is posed to Jesus is, can we divorce our wives for any reason and marry whomever we choose? Notice what the Lord said in verse 4. Have you not read that he which made them in the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let not man put asunder. That's the King James Version. Literally, those words put asunder mean to separate or to tear apart. So when the Lord appeals to them about this question of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, he appeals to the beginning. He appeals to Scripture. The importance of that has to be this, that in the very beginning, there were no Jews, and that would be the original audience of Matthew 19. There were no Christians at that time, and that would be the original audience of this lesson this morning. In the very beginning, there was just Adam and Eve, and this was the instruction that God gave to them. And so, therefore, this is of intrinsic value. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. The law applies, those laws regarding marriage, divorce, and remarriage, which we'll try to discuss this morning. But notice that when the Lord appeals to the very beginning and in creation, notice that the Lord selected Eve for Adam. And she was, according to Genesis 2, verses 18 through 24, a suitable companion, an appropriate companion. So that eliminates homosexuality, because the Lord did not select for Adam another man. He selected for Adam a woman. And the reason that the Lord did this was because they were to be fruitful and to multiply the earth. If you go back to Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 28, they were both created in the image of God and both created uniquely, but their purpose was to reproduce, multiply, and replenish the earth, and so, or make the earth plentiful. And so this was the design of marriage. But I think it's interesting that God chose Eve for Adam. Maybe that's what we need to do. Maybe we need to allow the Lord to choose the people we date, allow the Lord to choose the people we marry, and yea, in everything we do, allow the Lord to direct our footsteps. After all, isn't that what Matthew 6:33 says? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if we seek the Lord first in the people we date, we seek the Lord first in the person we marry, we seek the Lord first in all that we do, we are assured by the Lord himself that we'll find what we need and we'll receive what we need. So in the very beginning, marriage was something that God created between a man and a woman for life. He didn't create it for them to be separated or divorced. He created them there in that union to be together for life. Was that relationship based on love? I'm sure Adam grew to love Eve. But at the heart of this was someone that the Lord had chosen for him. We marry for love. We love someone. We date someone. We ask that person to spend the rest of their lives with us, with this understanding that when we say, I do, we did, and we are, and that marriage is to last forever. And the Bible approves that marriage. For example, in Hebrews 13, verse 4, the marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So the marriage bed, the marriage union, joined together by God himself, man and woman, husband and wife, that union is to last forever. They're to be married forever for the rest of their lives. And if they did marry for love, and if they are suitable companions for one another, they'll make it work. You know, marriage is somewhat like, as one man described it, like twirling a baton, turning back handsprings, or using chopsticks. It looks really easy until you try it. And once you get into it, it requires a lot of sacrifice and a lot of humility. Marriage is important, and marriage is not always easy. That commitment sometimes requires hard work. For example, I read a study recently by a communicator, an expert in the field, who said that husbands and wives typically spend about 27.5 minutes per week talking to each other. About 25 minutes per week talking to each other. They spend, he says, 46 hours per week watching television. So where are our priorities? We have to look at this and understand that if we want to marry, and we choose to marry, we're choosing to stay married to this person for life. The truth is, you don't have to get married to go to heaven. There are a lot of people down through history who never did get married and seem to make it just fine. Among them, Susan B. Anthony, Beethoven, Chopin, President James Buchanan, Isaac Newton, Henry David Thoreau, and many others I can mention. But when we do marry, that then becomes that union which God blesses and which should last for all time. I'm reminded of the story of a husband and wife who were visiting with their friends, and they got a call from their daughter. And the daughter had married not long ago, and she was on the phone and very upset with her mother because she and her new husband had had a fight. And this was their very first, and she was really, really hurt. And so she's talking to her mother, and her mother then hands a phone to her father, and she says to her husband, "Here, you take this and you talk to her." And he talked to her for a little while. When he got off the phone, everybody wanted to know, "What's the problem?" He said, "She told me I want to go home." And so the wife looked at him and said, "Well, what did you tell her?" "I looked at her and I said, and I told my daughter on the phone, you are home." And that's it. When we marry, that then becomes our home. A home in which God has united us. God should be a priority. He should be of first importance, in other words. So that's what the Lord had to say about marriage. It's between a man and a woman for life. But number two, notice what the Lord has to say about divorce. And this seems to be the subject that the Pharisees wanted to discuss with our Lord. I think going into this, we need to understand that divorce is really hard on children. I read of one young woman who made this comment. She said, "I was one of the lucky ones. My parents stayed together. I never had to cry on a holiday." And she said that was unlike a lot of my friends whose parents were divorced. And then I think about the impact that divorce has upon the man and the woman, upon the adults. Someone described divorce like this. She said, "You know, it's like an amputation. There's the pain, there's the loss, but you do survive. You do go on living." And so it's not easy for children. It's certainly not easy for parents. And yet, still at a clip of 1 to 2, one out of every two marriages end in divorce. What did the Lord have to say on the subject? Well, first of all, I think we need to understand that the Lord hates divorce. That's what he said in Malachi 2, verse 16. When people divorce for a number of different reasons, I understand that, and they remarry, and that's when the problems arise, of course. But in discussing divorce, notice what the Lord said in verse 7. Their appeal then is to Moses. Why then did Moses permit them or command them to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? Jesus said, from the beginning, this was not the case. That God didn't command Moses to do this, but he permitted man this. Moses permitted them this because of the hardness of men's hearts. And then verse 9, "And I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication or sexual immorality commits adultery, and whosoever marries her who is put away or is divorced commits adultery." In this passage, the Lord is telling us that divorce is not possible scripturally unless there's marital unfaithfulness. For example, if my wife happened to be unfaithful to me, I then would have scriptural grounds to divorce her, and I would have scriptural grounds to remarry her. I'm the innocent party. She is the guilty party, according to what the Lord is telling us, would not be free to remarry. Yes, we divorce. People divorce for a number of different reasons. That doesn't make it right. It's wrong in God's eyes, but for that one can be forgiven, as with any other sin. It's when remarriage comes into the picture that problems arise. And can someone be forgiven of an adulterous marriage, an adulterous relationship? Absolutely. God can forgive any sin, but repentance demands that we forsake the sin. For example, if a homosexual couple decided to get married and they were married, we would see that as an unscriptural marriage, would we not? If they were to ask forgiveness and want the Lord's forgiveness, would they be allowed to stay in that homosexual union? We would cry out, absolutely not. They are to not be together like that anymore. Well, why is it different when it comes to a man and a woman? When it becomes a marriage, a second or a third marriage, a remarriage for unscriptural grounds. If they want to be forgiven and if they repent, then they must forsake that adulterous union. The Lord becomes a more important priority in their lives than their relationship. And even sometimes if children are involved, which makes it so very complicated, you choose first the Lord. Remember that we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And one of those things that we want added to us is the Lord's forgiveness, the Lord's approval, and of course, eternal life. I think what we have to remember is this is the Lord teaching on these subjects. He had talked about them earlier. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, you'll remember in verses 27 and 28, Jesus said adultery begins in the heart, that a man can actually commit adultery in his heart. And then he goes on to say in verses 31 and 32, you have heard that it has been said, whosoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say unto you, that whosoever divorces his wife for any reason other than sexual immorality commits adultery, or causes her to commit adultery, and whosoever marries her that is divorced commits adultery. So here's what the Lord is saying. If I divorce my wife for reasons other than sexual immorality, other than fornication or adultery, I'm wrong. I'm at fault. I may not remarry. If I do remarry, I commit adultery. And the person I marry then has committed adultery. And my wife, whom I divorced, if she chooses to remarry, she too will have committed adultery, and the man she marries will be in an adulterous relationship as well. That's what the Lord is saying. This has far-reaching ramifications. This is what is suffocating our society because we dismiss our marriages as disposable, like we do disposable diapers and disposable razors and everything else in our country that we just seem to want to throw away, out of sight, out of mind. Can't happen with marriage. Marriage is sacred and divine. If I choose to marry, I make the commitment, I am going to love her till the day I draw my last breath. And she's going to love me and stay with me as long as she lives on this earth. And yes, divorce may be possible. It even may be scriptural. That doesn't make it the best option. I have known of Christian husbands and wives where one has been weak in the flesh, who's made a mistake, who committed adultery, who came back to his or her spouse, asked for forgiveness, and that spouse forgave them. They stayed together. They worked the marriage out. They're still married to this day, and their marriage is even stronger, if that's possible. But divorce can occur, and a remarriage may result if there is marital unfaithfulness on the part of one of the spouses. The innocent party may remarry. The guilty party may not. That's as simple as it gets. And it doesn't matter if I'm a Christian or not. If I choose to marry, God unites us in marriage, then I am under His law from creation forward, and that is marriage is between a man and a woman for life, and no one is to destroy what God joins together. And whoever destroys what God joins together will be held accountable for that to the Lord. And so if I want forgiveness, as with any sin, like alcohol or gambling or stealing, if I want to be forgiven, I have to be willing to repent and put those sins away from me and not do them again. And in an adulterous relationship, that means that a man and a woman can no longer live together as husband and wife, but must live apart from one another if they wish to be pleasing in the eyes of the Lord, to be forgiven of him, and to have hope of eternal life. This is serious business. We don't take marriage lightly. We don't enter into it frivolously, but we're serious about it because it matters. And we ask our families and our friends to witness it. And then before God is our witness, we unite a man and a woman. And these two people are joined together by God himself. And what God has joined together, no man can separate. No man has a right to destroy. That's serious. So before we marry, we need to think about these matters. We don't need to hear about these things first or the only time long after we've been married. We need to speak on these subjects more often. What's at stake here is the Lord's authority, and he spoke as one having authority, Matthew 7, 28 and 29. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 18, the Lord said, all authority had been given unto him in heaven and in earth. So when the Lord says something, that's it. When he says, I say unto you, that whosoever shall divorce his wife, except it be for fornication, commits adultery. And whosoever marries her that is divorced, commits adultery. When the Lord says, I say unto you, that puts to rest any other law. He has all authority. Moses fades away, and Jesus remains center stage. We, in our country, I think have so many problems when it comes to marriage and it comes to divorce. And it seems like that people have forgotten the sage advice that Henry Ford gave so many years ago. And Henry Ford was married to his wife for 50 years. And when he was asked about how he did it and how they could stay together that long, he said very simply this, it's just like in the automobile business, stick to one model. And that's what marriage is. And marriage is to last. Divorces unfortunately occur. And they're unscriptural if they're for grounds other than marital unfaithfulness. And what did the Lord say about remarriage? Remarriage, if I remarry and I'm the guilty party, I commit adultery. And the person I marry also commits adultery. My wife, as the innocent party, may remarry. And she doesn't commit adultery when she does. Go to the next slide, please. What the Lord said about remarriage in verse 9 is key. Because there's only two ways in which a marriage may be dissolved, in which in a scriptural way I may remarry. One is if there's marital unfaithfulness on the part of my spouse. Or two, if a death occurs in our relationship, if my wife dies. According to Romans 7, 2, I'm bound to her by the law as long as she lives. But when she is gone, deceased, then I have the freedom to remarry. But Paul makes it clear, only in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 7, 39. What does that mean, only in the Lord? Some say it means only a Christian. All right, I'll buy that. That word is used that way in Revelation 14, 13, about blessed are those who die in the Lord. We're thinking about a Christian there. But it's also used in another sense, in the way of a approved way of God, we would say a scriptural way, one who's of marriageable status in the Lord's eyes. For example, children obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, we are to obey our parents as they lead us in the ways of the Lord. If they go contrary to what the Lord teaches, then we have permission not to do what they tell us, which is very rare, if ever happens. But the truth is, only in the Lord may mean a Christian. And that's okay. We're on safe ground there, I think. But it could also mean someone who is of marriageable status. In other words, someone the Lord would choose for us. Someone who is scripturally sound and right and permitted to remarry. But only in the Lord is a key phrase when it comes to the subject of remarriage. There are examples in the Bible where two people are married unscripturally, and here's the way the Lord approached that. In Matthew 14, in verses 3 and 4, you have Herod who marries his brother's wife, his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. And what is it that John said to him? John said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. What'd that cost him? His head on a charger. I remember one of Kathy's brothers who was contemplating divorcing his wife and remarrying. We were standing on the bank of a lake fishing together, side by side. And he told me what his plans were. I looked at him and I said, because there was no adultery involved, there was no sexual immorality involved, he did not have scriptural grounds to divorce her or remarry any other woman, I looked at him and said, it's not lawful for you to have her. He went ahead and married her. That marriage ended in divorce too. He's on his third. Let me tell you who are the real casualties of that situation. The children and the spouses left behind. I don't know that Herod listened. He didn't listen at all. Most people don't. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. But let me tell you, that doesn't make it right in God's eyes. God is very clear on what a marriage is. He's very clear about when divorce and remarriage may occur. He's very clear about the people we may remarry. And so we pollute the water because we give in to what the world wants or what Satan is asking us to do. Why not today do what the Lord wants? Why not today just do what Jesus has told us to do? And among the many things that he said, and the reason we believe what we believe about marriage, divorce, and remarriage is because it's what the Lord taught. It's what the Lord preached. And in 1 Corinthians 7, that's what Paul preached. And it's what the other apostles preached. And it's what the early church practiced. This idea of what we're doing with marriage, divorce, and remarriage was not begun by the Lord or the apostles, didn't exist in the early church in a scriptural fashion. It was unscriptural then, it's unscriptural now. So we believe what we believe about these subjects and all subjects because of what the Lord teaches. So why not this morning just do what he says? And if he's asking me to be baptized for the remission of my sins, why not do that? If he's asking me to be restored, to put away my sins and start over again, why not do that? Even if it means walking away from an adulterous relationship. Even if it means walking away from someone I'm dating, I know I have no business dating. Or walking away from someone I know I have absolutely no right to marry her. She has absolutely no right to marry me. Why not do it the Lord's way for once? And stop trying to do it our way. It's not complicated. It's not controversial. It's simple and straightforward. Just like marriage, divorce, and remarriage. If you're here this morning and we can help you either by becoming a Christian or becoming a better Christian, being restored, starting all over again, that's why we're here. That's why we sing. Please come while together we stand and sing.